Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
How's everybody doing this morning? I sure wish we could get Mike to get excited. Hallelujah. God's good. You notice I didn't ask you if God was good. That's not a question to be asked. That's a statement to be made. God's good, isn't he? I was thinking this morning when I was a kid and grew up in a pastor's home, so preachers used to ask some of the dumbest questions. Not, they don't do it much anymore, but they would ask you questions like, how many of you would rather be here than the best hospital in the country? Hello? I even heard one say, how many of you are glad you're here rather than in jail? Well, I'm not going to ask you any dumb questions this morning. Hallelujah. Pastor Sean asked me this week, okay, what are you going to preach on? I need a title. And this is the one that the Lord gave to me. Don't let the ox trip. Let's pray first. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the word that you bring to us that helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. It helps us to understand you, who you are, what you want from us, what you expect of us, and not only that, but what you want to give to us. And so, Father, bless your word this morning. I know you will. I don't have to ask for your anointing because you've already sent it. I don't have to ask for your unction because you've already given it. And so, Father, you just help me this morning to walk in it. And we'll praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Don't let the ox trip. As I began to look at this, I love it when the Lord does this, but he took me a whole different direction than what I thought I was going. And I love the obscure stories in the Bible. I love the stories of the obscure people, the people that you hear about one time and then you never hear about them again. And there's a lot of them in there. A lot of people that they have their one moment. But in that one moment, God teaches the truth, and God gives us the truth that we can carry with us as followers and as those who are wanting to be like him, wanting to live the way he wants us to live, wanting to do things the way that he wants us to do them. This is kind of one of those obscure people this morning. It's a pretty familiar story. Most of you will probably know it. It's found in 2 Samuel, and it's verse 6. And it's the first probably 11 or 12 verses that we're going to read this morning. It's such when God does things and he wants you to get the picture of what's happening, he'll tell it more than one time. You can find the same story in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. And David's decided that he wants to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Now, the ark was the place where that was the presence of God. That was where God dwelt. He told Moses, he said, I will dwell between the cherubim. Have you ever seen a picture of the ark? And you notice the angels, and they got the wings that come like this. Now, I don't know what it looked like. I don't know what it, see? Right there. But somewhere in between those two wings, God said, that's where I'm going to dwell. So I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if there was some kind of a physical thing. I don't know what it was, but God said, that's where I'm going to dwell, right there. That's where you'll know I'm at. And so they had been without it Israel had been without the ark for some time. Basically, they had been without that manifest, that physical aspect of the presence of God in them. It had been with the Philistines. It had been quite a few years, because it was captured when Eli was high priest, when Samuel was just young, and the Philistines took it. And they had it for a while, and it was a train wreck for them. And they got rid of it just as fast as they could get rid of it. Actually, they kept it for like 7 months. They were slow, and they couldn't figure out, this is, we got no business with this thing. And so they would send it, they took it, and they put it on a cart, and they sent it with this ox. Then they sent the calf with the ox, so the ox would leave and go. It ended up at this guy named Abinadab. It ended up at his house. And so it stayed. That's where it was. That's where it stayed. And one day David decided, now he wanted to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. And that's what the story is. We read, it says, again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up there from there the ark of God, whose name is called the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells in between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, and accompanied the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and shook it, because the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. David became very angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah, which to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he asked, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David. Now here's where we're going to go. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord, this is what I want you to get this morning. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and some of his household. All of his household. And it was told David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God, because of the presence of God. So David went, and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. So I want to talk to you this morning, not so much, and my initial intent was to talk to you, and we're going to talk about the presence of the Lord this morning. And my initial intent was to talk about how you have to handle the presence of the Lord right. You have to handle it properly. You have to revere it. You have to treat it and give it the proper respect that it deserves. Because inevitably, if you don't, the ox is going to trip. And then chaos is going to take place. Pandemonium's going to... can you get this scene in your mind? I mean, they're going along, and they're going on their merry way, and that ark, the ox trips, and that ark starts to do this, and Uzzah, out of just reflex, reaches out to steady it, and boom, he's done for. Now, if you really get into the Hebrew in this, he didn't just fall over dead, but he was literally split in two. One piece went this way, one piece went this way. I don't know. But this was quite a scene. I mean, this was some crazy stuff here. And I'm sure that it got really chaotic. Because they didn't understand that you can you can want the presence of God and you can desire the presence of God, but unless you do it the right way, unless you do it God's way, it's not going to work. That's kind of where I was going. That's where I got the title. I don't know that we're going to stay so much in that vein, but I really want to focus on Obed this morning, this guy named Obed. Now, you can imagine, obviously his house was real close to this, so he's sitting there, and they're watching all of this, and they're trying to decide what to do with the ark. What are we going to do? David said, I can't bring it in. I'm not bringing it in. It's something's haywire here. I'm not going to do it. Where are we going to put it? We can't leave it here. And somebody points and said, how about that house? And I don't know about you, but if I was me and I had just seen what I was seeing and they wanted to bring that into my house, I would be somewhat apprehensive about bringing it in. I would. You would too. You'd be thinking, wait a minute, man. How about somebody else's house? What are you talking about bringing that into my house? But there's some principles about this. I want to talk to you first just for a few minutes about what the presence of God means. What does the presence of God mean? When we talk about the presence of God, what are we talking about? That literal word presence in the Hebrew is panim, and it means face. So really what we're saying is when we talk about wanting to be and see the presence of God, we're saying basically we want to see the face of God. God told Aaron and Miriam, remember when they got upset with him, and God brought all three of them into the tabernacle. And he spoke to Miriam and Aaron, and he said, some people I will speak to this way, others I will speak this way. But this man, I'm going to speak face to face with. That literally, when you literally look at that translation in the Hebrew, it means breath to breath. That means God was saying, when I talk to this guy, we're going to be like this. We're going to be breath to breath. And so Moses understood the value of that. He had that face-to-face relationship with God. He had that intimacy with God. That God said, this is how I'm gonna relate to him. God's presence was what always separated Israel. It was what separated Israel from all the other nations, was God and his presence in their midst. When Israel lost that sense of God's presence, they became just like everybody else. They became just like every other nation. But when God's presence was evident in them, they were a whole different, they were different. They were set apart. It's the only thing that separates you and I from the world and from other religions. This is what separates us from other religions, is the presence, the face, having that access to God. We have to understand the importance of that in our lives. Remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and God got mad at him. And he said, Moses, he said, go on in. He said, I'll send an angel with you. You'll win all your battles, you'll everything at home, but I'm not going with you. And Moses basically said this, Lord, if you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. We're not going to go. So many times we want to try to do this thing, and we want to try to do it without really experiencing the presence of God and having the presence of God, not just around us, but in us. Now, hang tough. I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. So we have to understand basically the importance. And I know most of you understand the importance of having the presence of God in your life. But I don't know about you, but I've always been of this mind. I've seen God do some great things. in my life. I've seen God show himself to me in some mighty ways. And I'll rejoice in them. And I will glory in them. But after a while, there's always this thought that comes to me. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. And that's the longing that God puts in us to always, he loves us so much and he desires fellowship so much that he's always willing to express himself to us in a new way, in a fresh way, in a more powerful way, if we're willing to do what it takes. The believer's attitude has to operate on one principle. Our attitude has to operate on one principle, and that principle is this. The only way to be guided, the only way to be governed, the only way to do battle, the only way to survive is to have God's presence active in our lives. Now, some of you are looking at me like I got a third eye on my forehead here. This is the truth. This is how we're governed. This is what has to govern our lives. This is what has to govern everything that we do. It's the active presence of God in us, being active in us. Not just being around us, but the presence of God being active in us. Now, I don't have much for notes this morning, so I'm just going to let her fly this morning. And God is not haphazard in his dealings with us. God is not just haphazard and like, you know, throw this against the wall and see if it sticks. Everything God does, he does with purpose. And he does because of something he wants to do, something he wants to accomplish, something that he wants to bring to pass. Same way with this case. There was a reason that ox tripped when it did. It didn't just happen. But God had a purpose. And at that very moment, at that very place, I don't know if he told an angel, go down and trip that ox. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know it was at that very moment that God had determined that's where all of this was going to take place. It was right in front of Obed's house. And as I thought about this, I thought, I began to ask the Lord, I tell you what, I looked for all my commentaries, everything, every source that I could come up, and I couldn't find anything about this guy. Very little. And it was only yesterday when I finally shut the computer off and got on my face and said, God, you okay? What? God began to speak to me about this guy. He wanted to use Obed. He wanted to use his home. He wanted to use them as an object lesson to David and to the nation of Israel about what would happen when someone got serious about having the presence of God in their lives, when somebody got serious about doing it the right way, when somebody got serious about their walk with God. He wanted to use him as an object lesson as to what would happen. Listen to me this morning. When you get serious, when you really start to get serious about what God you want God to do in your life, God will use you as an object lesson. Whether you want it or not, whether you decide that that's what you want, God will use you as an object lesson. Now, I know what you're thinking. I do, really. God saw something in Obed that caused God to trust him with his presence, that God would trust him to use him for this object lesson. Something about his heart, something about his spirit, something about him that led God to say, okay, this is the guy I'm here. You see, Israel and David wanted the presence of God. He wanted the presence of God in the nation. But see, they were trying to do it the way the Philistines did it. That's a good piece of advice right here. If you want the presence of God, don't do it the way the world tries to do it. If you want the presence of God in your life, don't do it the way somebody else does it. Don't do it the way that man says it ought to be done. Because sooner or later, doing it that way, the ox is going to trip. And you're going to end up with a mess on your hands. Been there, done that. It's not pretty. But got something about Obed's heart. Something about him led God to say, I can trust this guy. I can trust this guy to use him for an object lesson. Now, I don't have scripture for this, but I think what it was in Obed's heart was that he had an insatiable desire to have God in his life. He had an insatiable desire. You know what that word insatiable means? Can't be satisfied. No matter what God does, you're thankful, but you're not satisfied. There are too many of us as believers that are willing to be satisfied. That's good preaching, Mark. Keep it up. I came here this morning to tell you this. That God will only take you as far as you want to go. God will only move in your life as far as you want Him to move. God will only do for you in your life as much as you want Him to do. But there are those people. I used to get so aggravated. I love to study revivals, moves of God, things that have happened. And I would read about these guys, and I honestly, I got so angry one day and so mad, I picked the book up and threw it across the room. And I said, God, how do I get where these people were? How do I get to the place where a man like Charles Finney, where just walking through a factory, never said a word, just walking through a factory, people began to hit their knees and cry out to forgiveness. They had to shut the factory down, and he had to preach, and people got saved just because he walked through. How do I get to that place? How do I get to that place? Like, different men and different people in the Word of God and in the kingdom of God that have done phenomenal things. They weren't anything special. Obed wasn't anything special. Obed was just someone who decided, I want to experience God to His fullest. That's all I want. I want God to be seen in my life. I want God to be seen in my heart. I want God to be seen in me. There's, if you look at this, there's three things, and I'm hurrying along here. God's presence first touched Obed. God's presence first got a hold of Obed. Now, I don't know how all this came to pass. I don't know what they did with the ark when they brought it into Obed's house. If they set it in the front room, I don't know. But I do know that what happened, things begin to change. Things begin to change when the presence of God moved into Obed's house. Now get careful, be careful here, because I probably meddle a little bit here, but that's okay. Things begin to happen when God's presence moved in to where Obed was. And it changed him. It moved in his life. You want to know how I know? Because other people began to notice. Other people began to notice. Here's something for you to think about. One man, deciding that he would entertain and welcome the presence of God first in his own life would change the course of an entire nation. I'm going to say it again. One man deciding that he was going to experience God to his fullest changed the course of an entire nation. God was going to use Obed to show David, to show Israel, this is what happens when you do my presence the right way. When you experience me the right way, this is what happens. One man. I thought about this, and I thought about all the people in the Word of God. You know, we get this mindset. Well, I'm just who I am. I'm not. Why would God do that? I'm nobody. I have nothing. I know none of you have ever said this to the Lord, but I have. Why me? What are you talking about? You know me. You know who I am. You know what I'm like, and yet you're still going to do this? You're still going to allow me to have your presence? You're still going to allow me to experience your presence? And I thought about this. And I thought about, well, what about some of the people that God used in a special way and poured out his presence on in a special way? Abraham was a liar, yet God birthed a nation out of him. Jacob was a deceiver, yet he became a prince with God. Moses was a liar and stuttered, and he delivered and led an entire slave nation out of slavery and into what God's promise for them was. Gideon was a coward, but God used him to subdue enemies. Samuel was just a child, but yet God raised him up, and he spiritually was a spiritual leader of a nation. David was an adulterer and a murderer that God used to usher in probably the greatest time and the greatest age in the history of Israel. John was a hermit. He was a recluse that God used to usher in the coming of the Messiah. Peter was a denier. Thomas was a doubter. Paul was a persecutor. Every one of them were messed up. But yet God used each one of these people. And first he started to work in them. He brought his presence into their lives. He brought his presence into their hearts. And from there, God began to build on what he was going to do. Don't ever think that you're insignificant. Don't ever think that what God wants to do in you is some insignificant thing. God's pouring himself into you for a reason and for a purpose. God has a purpose for you to fulfill. God has a reason that he's putting his presence and desires to put his presence into you. And that's because he has something he wants you to do. Not somebody else. He's chosen you for that task. And the only way that you are going to fulfill it, the only way that you are going to walk in completeness with it, is for you to become totally abandoned to the presence of God in your life. I'm going to say it again. The only way that you fulfill it is by becoming totally abandoned to what God wants to do in your life. We sang it this morning, I surrender. I surrender. But yet we want to decide what we surrender, what parts we surrender, what parts we keep on to. You see, somebody who's totally wanting and is willing to let God move in their lives, they don't care. They don't care what God wants. They don't care what God is after. Take it. If it means I get your presence, then I'm all for it. What about you this morning? What's God looking at for in your life? What's God put his finger on in your life? And what's he saying? Let go of that, and I'll replace it with more of my presence. Do this, and more of my presence will be manifested to you if you do that. God touched him. Obed. Here's the thing. God wasn't looking for somebody that was perfect. God was just looking for somebody that was hungry. God wasn't looking for somebody who was walking in perfection. God was looking for somebody that was hungry for him. That's all God's looking for from you. He's not looking for all that you have, all your good stuff. You bring all your good stuff to God, and he'll use you in spite of it. Bring all your good stuff, and God will use you in spite of all the good things you have. All he's asking for you and all he's wanting from you is a heart that's hungry for him. As I've gone back and I've read and I thought about all these people, the one thing that was in common with all of them is that the presence of the Lord was all that mattered to them. They didn't care about any of this other stuff. They walked away from things. Hudson Taylor, he was a very, very prosperous physician. His clientele was of the elite in his city, but yet he walked away from it all to become a missionary in China. And God would use him to start the China Inland Mission, probably one of the greatest missionary outreaches to the nation of China that has ever been. But you see, God meant more to him than his money. God meant more to him than his social status. Having the presence of God in his life meant more to him than anything else. You see, that's the reason that we don't experience it like we should, is because we have other things. Come on, it's the truth. We just have other things that mean more to us. I said this Wednesday night when we were talking about worship. Whatever is at the highest on your priority list is what you will worship. Whatever is at the top of your priority list is the thing that you will worship. The thing that will matter to you the most, the thing that you will desire the most. So God touched and he first did a work in Obed. He changed Obed. And then it says that God blessed and touched Obed's family and his household. So Obed's going about his routine every day. And the presence of God is there in that house. And it's manifesting and it's changing Obed. And his family starts noticing, hey, there's something different about Dad. Obed's wife says, there's something different about Obed. He's nice now. He goes out of his way to do things. He does things that he wants. Something's up. And as Obed began to walk in the presence of God, his family began to notice it. Dads, you want your house to change? You want your home to change? You want your relationships to get better with your wife, your kids? Let God's presence get loose in you. Mom, you want things to change in your home? You want things to change in your husband? You want things to change in your family? Then let God's presence start to move in you. Start to absorb God's presence. They'll take notice. They'll notice it. They'll see it. You see, too many times we're wanting things to happen in others without seeing them happen in us first. Now, I know you're not guilty of that, but I struggle with this one. You get to praying for people. Praying for your wife, praying for your kids, praying for others. And you're, oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. But yet at the same time, God's saying, wait. You got the cart before the horse here. What about you? Let's do it in you first. Let's get it done in you first. Let's get you where you need to be. And then we'll use what I'm doing in you. You see, when God begins to pour out his presence in a person's life, it's never, they benefit from it, but it is never for the benefit just of that person. When God begins to pour his heart and his self into somebody, it's for the benefit of others too. For them to see it in you. For them to be able to see in you what happens when God begins to move in someone's life. What happens when some person begins to make God priority and God's presence priority. It will benefit others. It's going to benefit your family. You got people you're praying for? Let them see God's presence in you. Let them see God's presence being manifested in you. Let them see the Spirit of God. Let them see the love of God. Let them see the compassion of God. Let them see the grace of God moving in you. And they'll take notice. Wow, something's happened. Something's different. The goal of God is that his presence in somebody's life should affect others as well. As God's presence began to change Obed, his family noticed the change in him. As God changed him, his family became aware of the change. And they were influenced by that change. You want to see the people's lives around you change? Start letting them see God's presence flowing out of you. Let them see that relationship, that face-to-face relationship with you, with God, flowing out of you to others. And they'll notice it, and it will influence them. It will influence them, mom and dad. It'll influence those kids. Husband, it'll influence that wife. Wife, it will influence that husband. Because they'll begin to see the change. And here's the good part of it. Even as they changed, they became, and they came under the canopy of the blessing that God gave to Obed. Oh, you missed that one. As they began to be influenced by the presence of God in Obed's life, they also came under the canopy of blessing that God gave to Obed. You want to see your family blessed? You want to see your loved ones blessed? That's right. Start letting God's presence flow through you. Start getting to that place where you are so full of the presence of God that you can't contain it. I read a quote of a guy that said, trying to contain a heart full of praise is like trying to contain a volcano in a teacup. You cannot do it. When God begins to move in your heart and God begins to move in your life, you can't keep your mouth shut. Oh, come on. This is good stuff this morning. When God begins to show himself to you, when God begins to reveal himself to you, you can't keep it to yourself. It can't be contained in this vessel. It flows from it. And as it flows from this vessel, it touches other people's hearts, other people's lives. They begin to be influenced, and they come under the canopy of blessing that God has given to you. He begins to share with them, and they begin to partake of the blessing. Hallelujah. Boy, whatever you do, don't you get excited about that. That you have that. God has given you that capability to be an avenue of blessing. Spiritually. Emotionally, financially, economically, everything. They come under your canopy of blessing because you decide that you can't get enough of him. Oh, hallelujah. That's good stuff. God changed him. And as he changed him, he changed his family. And they all came under the canopy of God's blessing. You want to see your church blessed? You think God's pouring out his blessings on us now? Let each one of us start to operate under the presence of God and let the presence of God, and then we all come under the canopy of God's blessing. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you realize what would happen? We couldn't have enough services. We wouldn't be able to put all the people in here. We wouldn't be able to shut the doors of this place. Oh. Don't look at me like you think that can't happen. Try it. See what happens. All it takes is one person. All it takes is one person that gets so full of God that they can't contain themselves. One person that gets so full of the presence of God that it can't be contained in them. And it begins to touch other people, and they begin to get that hunger. And then they touch someone else, and they influence someone else, and someone else begins to come under that hunger. Come on, church, this is what God has for us. This is what God would have for us. This is what God would want to do through us and in us. We're not here just to warm pews. We're not here just to be a social gathering. If we don't have God's presence, that's all we are. There's no reason to do this. Unless we come with that mindset of experiencing and letting God's presence flow out from us to everyone else. Hallelujah. God touched Obed, then he touched his family. And then from that, God touched and blessed an entire nation. Whew. God touched an entire nation. People began to notice. There's something different about Obed and his family. The neighbor people in the neighborhood began to notice, man, his kids aren't as wild as they used to be. His kids aren't quite the hellions that they used to be. They're not running around egging people's houses. They're not running around, but they're helping old ladies across the street. Something's different about this family. Something's different. What is it? What's making them so different? And then it clicks with them. Wait a minute. All this change started happening about the time they took the ark into their house. All this started changing just about the time that we had that big train wreck. And we moved that thing into Obed's house. And something's happening there. And the word gets back to David. And what? Read it. You can see exactly what they said. They said, God's blessing Obed's house. Have you heard, David? God's blessing Obed's house. Why? It's because of God's presence. And David said, that's it. We're going and we're getting that thing, and we're going to do it right. And they began to search the scriptures, and they began to see how to handle God's presence right. And they began to figure out how to do this the right way. And they did. And they went and got the ark. And you can read further on in here where it says, when they did it right, six steps, boom, were all they took. And God's power fell. And the worship started. And they began to worship, and they danced all the way into Jerusalem. And it ushered in the most glorious moment and probably the golden age of Israel. God blessed that nation spiritually. God blessed that nation economically. God blessed that nation militarily. They were the world power in that time. The mention of their name put fear in their enemies. Why? Because one man decided he was going to handle this presence of God properly. One man decided he wanted as much of God as God was going to give him. You want to know how I know this? You can go on and you can read, especially in this is story is chronicled and talked about in 1 Chronicles 13 again. And you can read where David, on into chapters 13 and 14 of 1 Chronicles, where David got the ark, and you know the story. He danced, his wife got mad. She ended up spiritually desolate. All of this stuff. David said this. He said, there is going to be worship going on continually in Jerusalem, in the temple. There's going to be worship constantly. Now, from what I can understand, that it was a tent that David erected for the ark to be in. So no matter where and what time it was, you could walk by and go by that tent and you could see somebody in there worshiping. It was constantly worship. But you read this. It says that when David began to set up people to minister. In fact, I'll read it to you if I can find it. David said he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate or to think. This is 1 Chronicles 16. He praises the God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah, and then Jael, Semiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, and Obed-Edom. He was picked to be one of those that ministered before the Lord with stringed instruments, with harps. You can read further up in verse 15 where it says, or chapter 15, and it says that Levites were appointed to worship and to minister before the Lord. Again, Eliab, Benaniah, Maaseiah, the whole crew, and Obed-Edom and Jehiel, the gatekeepers. You can read further down, and it says that they appointed people to play instruments. And guess whose name's on the list? Obed-Edom. They had people that were assigned to sing. Guess whose name is on the list? Obed-Edom. So basically, you know what Obed was saying when they came and got that ark from his house? Mom, pack up the kids. We're going to Jerusalem. Wherever the ark goes, I go. Wherever God's presence goes, I'm going with it. You see, Obed had experienced what it meant to have the presence of God in his life, and he was never going to be without it again. Hallelujah. You see, when you really get a hold of this thing and you really begin to let God move in your heart and your life, you will never be willing to settle for anything less than that. Hallelujah. When God begins to pour out himself into you, you won't be able to settle for Monday night football. You won't be able to settle for this or for that. You won't be able to settle for the social status. You won't be able to settle for a job with more money. All you will want is him and him alone. And you don't care what you have to do to get it. You don't care what the price is. You'll pay it. Now, this is a tall order. I know this. I know what you're thinking. I can't ever do this. That's what? I will tell you right now, if you want to listen to that lie, you can listen to it. But it seems to me I read somewhere where God said to anyone that succumbs to me, I will in no wise cast him out. I read somewhere else, I think, where he said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. And he didn't put anybody's name in front of that. He said, if you will do this, I will do this. Shoot, I don't even know how long I've been preaching. I'm gonna close with this. When you really begin to seek God's presence, his face, it becomes the motivating factor in your life. It's what motivates you. It's what pushes you. It's what takes you through those days that you just don't want to do it. But it's the presence of God that says, come on, you can do this. I'm with you. I'm in you. I'm for you. You will make it. You will do it. When it happens, you don't care where you are. You don't care what you're doing. You don't care what time it is. All you know is that you cannot live without his presence. I'm going to shut down with this. True story. When I was in junior high, eighth grade, went to school one day, and everything was, it was just kind of in an uproar there at school, and I'm like, and I remember there was some girls in my class, Hispanic girls, and I remember one of them asking, what's wrong with Valentina? And the other one goes, I don't know. I remember hearing this conversation. Well, there was this girl in our class. Her name was Valentina. Hispanic girl. She was big and she was mean. And she ran with a bunch of girls that were mean. I mean, this gal was mean. I watched her get in a fight with a girl one time and it was not pretty. She tore that girl apart. I mean, she was so ornery that most of the guys gave her a wide berth. I'm not being funny. This is just who she was. She was meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, she was nasty. You don't mess with her. But they were asking that morning, what's wrong with her? I didn't think much about it. Well, my dad, he was a truant officer. So I never got to skip school. And he would go around and he would check every day with the schools and get the list of students that were absent. So he went over to the to the junior high that I went to when I was in junior high, and this junior high secretary met him. And she says, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And he goes, what's going on? What's going on? She said, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. So he went downstairs, and this was an old school. It was like three stories. It was three or four stories. And in the basement were where the bathrooms were. And so Dad would tell this story. He walked down there, and there's just a crowd of people standing around the girls' bathroom door. And he couldn't, and so she kind of shouldered past everybody, and so there was the junior high principal, the junior high counselor, the junior high nurse, all standing there, and nobody knew. But Valentina, just a few days before that, had given her heart to the Lord. Nobody knew this. And so what she had done was that morning in school, she went in, and I mean, you know, concrete floors, all the overhead exposed pipes, and she laid her sweater down on the floor and began to pray. And right there in the basement of that school, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's speaking with other tongues, freaking these people out. They don't know what's going on. The nurse, school nurse, wanted to give her a shot. They brought this other Hispanic girl in and said, what's she saying? What's she saying? And that girl said, I don't know. She ain't speaking Spanish. I can tell you that. And I mean, people were in uproar. They didn't know what to do. And Dad, being the mild-mannered guy that he was, just said, listen, just get back and get out of the way. She's talking to God, and when she's through, she'll be fine. And so they all backed up, and Dad just went over and knelt down beside her and started praying in tongues with her. But what am I saying in this story? It would just be 3 or 4 years later that Valentina would have her life taken from her. She was murdered. But what happened in that basement that morning put her into a place where she was like, I don't care. I don't care who's here. I don't care what. I don't care. I've plugged into something here, and it has changed me. I've gotten a hold of something here this morning. I've gotten a hold of something, and I want more. And I don't want to wait till I get back to church. I don't want to wait till I have to talk to the pastor. I want it, and I want it now. And she got it. Listen, my whole point of this morning is to encourage you to get hungry for God. I don't care where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't care if you've been serving him a few days, a few months. I don't care if you've been serving him for 50 years. You have not even begun to scratch the surface of what God wants to do for you and wants to do in you and will do in you and through you if you just become a seeker of his presence. If you just become someone who hungers after him, what did he say? If you hunger and thirst, I'll fill you. I'll fill you. So my question to you this morning and my question to you today is simply this. How hungry are you? What do you want? Are you willing to settle for the crumbs that fall from the master's table? Or do you want to be one of those who sits at the table? Are you one of those that's going to be willing just to settle for the spiritual scraps that fall off of the table? Or are you one of those that wants to sit at the table and partake of the fullness of what God's giving you? Choice is yours. You have the choice. You make the choice with this, what you're going to do. But Obed decided, I don't care. I don't care what happens with anybody else. I've got God's presence here, and I'm not going to be without it. I'm not going to let go of it. I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to pursue it until I have everything that God has for me. So what about you this morning? What are you settling for? What are you settling for this morning? Are you settling for the crumbs? Are you settling for the crumbs? Or do you want what the fullness of what God has for you? Father, this morning as we come into your presence, and we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Father, we've delivered it. We've done what we needed to do. And now, Lord, as your word's gone forth, it's up for your people. It's up for us to decide what we do with it. It's up for us to decide what we do with what your God, your desire and your heart is to show yourself to us. Your desire for us is for you to manifest yourself to us and to show yourself to us. But you are limited only by the limits that we put on you. You are limited only by what we say and we proclaim, by our words, by our actions, by our attitudes, how much of you we want. But I know this morning, Lord, that you were standing there and you were saying the windows of heaven are open. I've opened the storehouse. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have ever had is yours if you're willing to walk in and take possession of what I have. So, Father, this morning I pray that you would quicken this word to every one of our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would quicken this word to every heart this morning. I don't care how long they've been a Christian. Father, there's more for them than what they're experiencing. There's more for them. There's more for them, for each one of us this morning, than what we are settling for. It's your presence, Lord, that we need, that we have to have. Hallelujah. Shane, would you come and play something this morning? Why don't you stand with me real quick this morning? And just close your eyes with me this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're all of this sounds so foreign to you. All of this sounds so out of reason with you. But that's because you've never experienced Jesus. You've never experienced what it's like to have him in your life. You've never experienced what it is to have him in your heart. You've never come to the realization that he has paid the penalty for your sin. He took the penalty for your sin. He took the punishment that you should have received, and he took it on himself so that you could have this opportunity to fellowship with him. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand quick. Not going to take a lot of time with this. Quick, quick, quick. Maybe you're here this morning and that there's been that cry in your heart, God, there's got to be more. God, there's got to be more. You've enjoyed what God has given to you. You've enjoyed what God has brought to you. But then there's always that little push and that little shove within you that says, yeah, but there's got to be more. There's got to be more. If that's you this morning, and you want to make that declaration, here I am, Lord. I'm open. I surrender. Everything I have is yours. I just want you. I want you to quick. We're not going to take a lot of time with this. I want you just to come, and I want you just to stand in front here. Quick, right now. I'm not going to take a lot of time with this. If that's you this morning, I want you to come. And we're going to pray together. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, God's only going to give you what you're willing to settle for. God's only going to give you what you're willing to have. He's not going to force any more on you. But if you come with an open heart and you come with an open mind and you come with an open spirit, God will fill it. God will fill your vessel. Hallelujah. One more time. One more time, we're gonna ask one more time, and that's it. If that's you this morning, you're hungry for God. You want to see God do some things in your heart, in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of those that you are close to you. You wanna have an impact. Come quick. We're not gonna take any more time. This is it. This is it. Well, Father, Okay, those of you that came forward, I want you to look at me real quick. I want you to look at me real quick. You need to prepare yourself for what's coming. Because if you've come with an honest heart, God's going to take you at your word. And he's going to begin to fill you. And he's going to move in your life. And he's going to begin to move in your heart. And he's going to begin to move in you. And he's going to begin to do in you things. And you're going to see a change. First in you. And then you'll see the change in others around you. Because they'll take notice of what's happening in you. So we're just going to pray together this morning. And we're just going to say, here I am, Lord. Whatever it is, here I am. Here I am, Jesus. No agendas. No agenda. I just want you. Father, as we come before you this morning, as you see these gathered here this morning, Holy. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. God, there's nothing that you seek for and you look for and you desire more than a hungry heart. There's nothing that you look for more than a hungry heart, a heart that's hungry for you, a heart that's hungry to see you move, a heart that's hungry to experience you in a greater way. Father, you see every one of these standing here this morning, each one coming to you in a different way and with a different mindset of what they want you to do in them. Maybe for some of them it's something that you're asking them to lay down. For some of them, maybe it's just that longing to Jesus, I need more, I want more, I want more. Father God, I am asking you right now, by the power of your presence, to come in and to rest and to settle upon each of them this morning. Each heart, each life here today, Father God, come right now by the power of your presence. Lord, let them sense, let them see, let them feel that change coming, that inflowing of your presence and your power in their life. Let them feel it this morning, right now, Father, as we pray. God, we're not basing this on feeling. We're not basing this on anything, not emotion. God, but we are coming to you with out of a hunger in our hearts to have deeper relationship and fellowship with you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Each one of you, I want you just to start to cry out. I just want you to start to talk to the Lord. Let him know. Let him know what you're after. Let him know what you want this morning. Let him know what you want to experience this morning. God, touch him this morning. Touch him this morning, Jesus, by the power of your presence. Touch him this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Each heart, each life this morning, Jesus, touch him by the power of your presence. By the power of your presence, let it become real. Let it become real to them this morning, Lord. God, implant it in their hearts and in their lives this morning, oh God. Implant it within them, Jesus, this morning. God, your presence. Lord, an everlasting, a newness, a freshness, a fresh drink from the well this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Refreshing this morning. Refreshing this morning, Jesus. Refreshing this morning, Lord. Refreshing this morning. A new drink from the well, Father. A deeper experience. God, we're not settling for the crumbs anymore. We're not settling for the crumbs on the floor, Lord. We're gonna sit at the table. And we're going to experience the fullness that you have for us. We're going to experience you, Jesus, the way you want to be experienced. We're going to fellowship with you, Jesus, the way you want us to fellowship. Hallelujah. Each one this morning, God, you see him here this morning. You see him here this morning, Lord. Everyone, everyone, Jesus, we're hungry. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for your presence. We're hungry for your power. We're hungry for your glory. Come on, just lift your voice to him this morning. Lift up your voice to him this morning. Maybe you're out there and you didn't respond, but you want God. You want to see God move in your heart. You want to see God move in your life. You want to see a change. You want to see God do things. Begin to just cry out to him this morning. Begin to just talk to him this morning. Lord, oh Lord, do your thing. Have your way this morning, Jesus, in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Holy God. Hallelujah. 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 Shane, let's sing that I surrender again. Like a rushing wind. Hallelujah. Listen, make this your prayer this morning. Like a rushing wind. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind to within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Oh, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. I surrender. I surrender. I want it. I want to know you. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you. I want to.
Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning. Lord, for loving us so much and desiring fellowship with so much that you're willing to come down and walk among us and touch us each individually with your power and your presence this morning. Lord, help us each to take away this morning a hunger, a deeper hunger, a deeper desire for your presence, because it's your presence that's going to change us. It's your presence that's going to take us, Lord, where you want us to go individually. It's your presence that's going to take us as a family units, where you want to take us. It's your presence, Lord, that's going to take us as a church where you want to take us. We can have all the fancy programs. We can have all the right things, do all the right things. But if we don't have your presence, Lord, then what we're doing is vain. It's empty. No purpose to it. Father, everything we do has to have your presence attached to it. Has to have your presence all over it. It has to be immersed and covered with your presence. So you go with us, Lord, this week. God, help each one of us to walk in a newness of hunger, a newness of desire for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning for anything, you come and we'll pray with you this morning. They're going to put some music on just but if you want prayer this morning, you come. There are people here this morning that are going to pray with you, and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.